You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Spike, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a chilly Wednesday. It's November 18th, 2020. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. What you do with the other 20, that's your responsibility. And today, I made a shocking discovery.
Really?
So we've gotten the outside of the house painted. So the guy who supervised the whole deal came by today, and we walked around the house to see if they had to do any last second things. And you know, this was in the morning, so it was in the 20s. It was like 29 degrees, and I'm wearing a mask, obviously. And I finally discovered something that's really positive about wearing a mask.
Here we
go.
Keeps
your face warm.
There you go.
It's like a scarf. It was delightful.
Wow. You know, it's basic.
Right. Think about it. I think this could be the new accessory.
Wow, it's so simple, but...
It is so simple.
But
and to just have to walk around the house, and the only thing that it does when it's really cold and you've got the mask on, your nose drips like a sieve. I don't know why, but what are you going to do?
Was that the whole thing? So that was the big discovery today. It was simply
that you realized
that the mask keeps your face warm.
Right. I never even considered it.
My mom sent me a new kind of mask, by the way.
What, like scream mask?
No, not a scream mask. It looks like one of those cloth, it looks like a regular cloth mask with the adjustable ears like I like.
Right.
And it's got double layer of cloth, but then it also has the pouch inside for you to put a filter.
Ah.
Maybe. So you can layer up and filter up.
Wow, oh, this is so exciting.
Thank
what
you,
a
Mom.
Lady.
Well, I got to be on point. I got to fly this weekend for Survivor Series, so I want to make sure I'm always masked properly, you know?
Mom! Now, if you don't have a mask and you're getting on the airplane, do they give you one? Or
yes.
Or do they say you just can't get on?
No, they will give you, they have masks and gloves and stuff like that.
You don't wear gloves, though, do you?
I do not wear gloves. I wear a heavy-duty mask and a shield.
Gotcha.
So people already think I'm crazy enough. I also, this time... just given where we are, I went out of pocket and upgraded to first class.
Oh, look at you.
I'm not messing around.
Look at you.
They filled all the planes now. They don't leave any empty middle seats anymore.
So you're just saying that the person you sit next to in first class with the money probably doesn't have the VIP.
See, I knew you'd say that to make me look bad.
Too.
No, of
well,
course
exactly
not.
That's what you're saying.
Of course it's not. It's simply you have twice as much room in first class. Right, Don, you would say?
Yes. It's a different experience altogether.
Oh, I know it's a different experience, but if you're talking about...
Michael doesn't even remember regular.
No, I've not been on a plane since March 11th, I think.
But even so, you don't remember what economy is.
I've flown in economy. Sometimes if you have to get on a flight and first class is sold out, you know what? I'll go back there. I'll sit in the middle seat.
I wanted to maximize the space.
Beautiful. Good for you. NBA draft is tonight. You can hear it right here. On 98.7 ESPN, which is exciting, and it's kind of wrapped around. It's kind of like everyone dreams of this. It's like a Chris Carlin sandwich. So he's going to open up at 7.
Wow.
And then when they start to make picks, he'll hand it off to the show, but then he'll be back to analyze the picks. So
okay.
It's everything you want in Carlin and a little bit more. So we're excited about that. We're going to break it down. During the soft open, told you that the Knicks have already made a deal where they have the 28th pick and then a pick in the second round, which they packaged and traded for the 23rd pick. So that the 8th and the 23rd, which would lead you to believe maybe they're thinking about even moving up more, packaging an 8 and a 23, maybe to get up top and get a player that they like. So we'll talk to Seth Greenberg about the players that are coming out. And really, let's be honest, everybody. Not many people know that much about these players. I mean, we know Obi Toppin and all that from Dayton. But some of these players, we didn't see Weissman a lot at Memphis because he didn't play a lot. Because, yeah, I guess he was ruled ineligible. So we don't really know about these guys. And the ones over the seas, we have not seen. So we'll break it down for the people. Obviously, it's a big deal in the continuing saga on whether or not the Nets are going to get James Harden. And I love, by the way, can I tell you, absolutely love what the Rockets are doing. They're not giving these guys away. Why should they? These are two great players. So they're not going to be handcuffed by the players and make a bad deal. So they said, we are ready to go. And think about it, everybody. Today's November 18th. 30 days has September, April. Okay, so it's 30 days in this month. 12 more days. Camp starts on December 1st. NBA camp starts on December 1st. So, that being said, they said they are ready to be uncomfortable and bring both those guys to camp. And I don't blame them. They're under contract. At some point, you've got to stop the power, all the power, going to the players. I think the players should have power because they're the product. But you can't completely submarine a franchise by saying, I want to go. And then not only do you want to go, but you're James Harden. You don't just want to go to any of the other 29 teams. You want to go to one, which kind of limits the GM of the Rockets on what right. You're going to get back. And the Nets, Don, they don't want to give a lot back. And I don't blame them because they're taking on a big contract, too, as well as a great player. But they want a score. Do the Nets really want to give them a score when they've got a team that's good enough already?
All right. Well, let's look at history, okay? Because we've seen this a lot recently of players that don't want to be someplace. The team has all the leverage because they don't have to trade them, but end up trading. Right, we saw it with the Jets and Jamal Adams, right? They didn't have to, but they did because they eventually got what they were looking for. Jamal wasn't specific to a team the way Harden is, but he wanted out and he got out. You know, Jalen Ramsey wanted out, got out. It usually works out that you play hardball, but when push comes to shove, the team realizes, I can't have James Harden on this team for the next 3 years and him not wanting to be here. So I've got to now trade him. That's number one. Number two, where do I trade him? Because everybody else in the league is going to know he wants to go to Brooklyn. So do I want to trade for a guy that he doesn't have my team on his list? So do I want to trade for him, and then 3 months from now, I'm in the same boat that Houston was in, where he's begging to get out? So history kind of tells you that the player does find their way to where they want to go. And it's just a matter. I love the fact that Houston's playing hardball, but to what end? When do they just eventually have to cave?
They'll have to. I don't know if they have to cave. I mean, maybe he'll open up a bit because you get John Wall back. Maybe if you're the Rockets, if you trade Westbrook there, I mean, there are other options also. I mean, the Celtics want, you get Gordon Hayward and Kemba Walker back. I mean, so your team is viable. But if you trade these guys for nothing, your team's not viable anymore for a long, long time.
No, I get it. What I'm saying is if Philadelphia offers that to you, then you make the deal, right? What I'm saying is, why would Philadelphia offer that knowing there's a very good possibility they're going to get a player that's not going to want to be there and then going to pull the same power play that he pulled in Houston? So
yeah,
I'm with
that's
you.
That's a gamble. Huge gamble.
But what can end up happening is that nobody offers him anything because everybody knows he wants to go to Brooklyn and they're going to have to trade him to Brooklyn anyway. What do you do if no one offers anything except Brooklyn?
Then I keep him.
All right, then you keep him. But that doesn't come easily either.
No, he's gonna
because
be
now that's three hard years. Now, you're likely trading Westbrook, so that maybe makes him a little bit happier. But it's still, depending on what they get back from Westbrook, it's probably not going to be Russell Westbrook. So they're going to take a step back in the first of the 3 years left in his contract. It just becomes a headache for the next 3 years.
I just
it becomes more of a problem.
I just love the headline. I love the language they're using. Houston Rockets, quote, willing to get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they will.
And it will
just going to get uncomfortable.
And even though I'm a player guy, I do respect not wanting to get simply bullied and go from having a team that matters to being completely irrelevant.
And I could also understand if a guy was in the last year and he kind of wants to maneuver where he wants to go. This guy has 3 years left on his deal. Both of them do. So you think that kind of buys you some security of keeping your team relevant. I just don't understand it. And, you know, making some phone calls today from what I'm hearing, what the Rockets want for the Nets, from the Nets, is Dinwiddie, LeVert, Jared Allen, and 3 first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge haul. And I guess the Nets could play close to the vest and go, you know, we'll pass. Because they know that Harden only wants to go to the Nets, and he could put maybe some internal pressure on the Rockets. Because teams that do that, they don't want, the player doesn't want the team to be stripped. Jared Allen's a good player. Now, maybe you don't need LeVert or Dinwiddie, and maybe you don't need both of them, especially if you get Harden. But that's a lot of, and first-round draft picks, too. Yeah, they made a deal like this once before, and it buried the franchise for a long time, lost Billy King his job. The deal with the Celtics was terrible. Terrible. So I think Sean Marks, the GM of the Nets, is playing this the right way. He's holding all the cards. And if Harden goes somewhere else, you know what? I still have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
That's
okay.
What I was going to say. Let's not start acting panicky if you're the Nets.
Right.
You weren't even planning on just being
panicky. Oh, absolutely. They really want Westbrook. The Knicks are panicky because they if they really want him, and we keep hearing they don't. But I think it would be an embarrassment of riches if the Nets got Harden. But, Peter, if they don't, they're cool. They're a contender.
Oh, yeah. If I'm the Nets, I just hang back. I mean, I'm a contender right now anyway, and we'll just wait. This will come to me eventually. But I'm just saying from the Rockets' perspective, how long can they play hardball?
It becomes a game of chicken.
Well, and for 3 years, and then that's fine. You have the guts, and as Peter said, that they said that they want to be uncomfortable. That's all great, but, you know, you still have games to win. You still have seasons to play. You have other players on the team. Yeah, you could play tough guy, and I admire it because I hate these players dictating policy. But at the end of the day, you don't want to cripple your franchise just to say, look, we didn't cave.
Right.
You got 3 years of basketball to play.
But if you cave, you also cripple your franchise.
Well,
if you get something less than dollar for dollar value, you cave. Now, I don't think they're going to get dollar for dollar value for Westbrook, but for Harden, Harden's one of the best players in the game. Now, I'd say Westbrook's in the top 12, top 15, before anybody argues with me. I mean, maybe. So he's a good player, too. But he's older than Harden, I believe, and that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for Westbrook. You look at the Harden money, and you go, okay, that's James Harden.
By the way, is there a word? We know what a Woj bomb is. Is there a word for what the Knicks did earlier when it was reported by Woj? Because it wasn't a bomb.
A Woj wink.
It was a wink?
Yeah.
Because a sparkler?
Maybe.
Because the trading up to get the 23rd pick, it's not quite bomb category.
No, it's not.
It's not that. It's not a flex bomb, that's for sure.
It's still a broken story, though. That's what the bomb's all about. Not the size of the story. It's another big, 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 big situation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very quickly, and we touched on this earlier, we move into the Big Blue Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Interesting story coming out of the Meadowlands, in that Colombo, not the guy with the trench coat, the former now offensive line coach of the Giants, Mark Colombo, has been fired, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
This is the deal. They didn't like the way their offensive line, which has a lot of young players, was moving along. NFL Network reporting that Joe Judge had been very hands-on the last 4 weeks. And during those 4 weeks, they have improved. And Joe Judge does have a background in being an offensive line coach with the Patriots. So maybe Judge saw something that he felt that Colombo lacked. I mean, their big pick is an offensive lineman that, for the first 6 games of the year, looked lost. Andrew Thomas looked lost. So he wanted to bring in a longtime NFL assistant who was an assistant and an offensive line coach under Tom Coughlin. Dave DiGuglielmo, love the name.
Yeah.
And he wanted to bring him in to work with Colombo, and Colombo said no. He felt insulted that you were taking power away from him. And this is where the story splits, Don and Peter, where one reporter is saying that they had a knockdown, drag-out fight. I wouldn't like Joe Judge's chances. I think Mark Colombo, 6'8", 330.
Well, he's a former offensive lineman.
Right. He's a huge man. Then the Giants have categorically denied that that took place. But a lot of people are reporting that there was a spirited, loud, angry argument that they had, and that led to him being let go. So that's where we are right now, is the Giants, with a two-game winning streak, a little drama in their world.
Well, but, you know, the more I think about it, because we're doing this in real time, right? Well, why would you make a change? They're 2-0. They're right there to possibly win this division. The offense is clicking. They're not turning the ball over. They're protecting Jones. It looks like the offensive line's getting better and better. Well, now, if you dig deeper, the bringing in the replacement or the consultant, his former coach in New England, maybe that's when it started to turn around. And now during the bye, Judge is like...
He didn't work as a consultant for the 4 weeks.
No,
Judge
no.
was doing it himself.
And when did he bring in the consultant?
He wanted to bring him in now.
Oh, he hadn't brought him in yet.
No, he had not brought him in yet. He wanted to bring him in now. And Colombo felt that the move undermined him, so he didn't want any part of it, and they started arguing.
All right, well, the same logic applies. A change was made where Judge kind of took over, and they start to play better. So Judge is probably thinking in his mind, all right, now we've figured out the problem. And now during the bye, I'm going to make the change. But I'm not going to be that hard about it. I'm going to bring somebody else in, because Judge probably figures, I'm in my first year here. I can't continue to do this the whole rest of the year. I'll bring in somebody that can kind of help me out, consult the whole situation with my touch on it. And then Colombo goes crazy because he sees the writing on the wall. And now he's out. So whatever has been working has been when Colombo has kind of been relieved of some of the responsibility, whether it's by Judge or his replacement. So I guess we're kind of looking at, why did it all of a sudden happen? No, Judge probably got involved early on when they were 0-5 and that they weren't protecting Jones and it was a debacle. So I think this is all good. Right?
The only way it could be bad, Don, is that there was a connection between Garrett and Colombo. They were close. They worked together in Dallas for many years, 4 years, I believe, and he kind of brought him over here. So does this hurt your relationship with Jason Garrett, who I think has been very important for the Giants?
Well, I would think Judge would make sure, before he started making any changes, that he would check in with Garrett and make sure he was cool with everything, right? I mean, when Judge said, I got to do something here, you know,
He probably never ran it by Garrett because he never thought he was going to fire him, except that Colombo reacted angrily and felt that he was being undermined, and then they started shouting, and then that's when it happened. He wanted Colombo and the guy they call Googs to work together, and it didn't happen.
Right, but the fact is that Judge getting more involved, Garrett had to know that was going on, and that there was the possibility that as things began to work, the more Judge got involved, that Colombo could have been in a little trouble here.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, what's Garrett going to do? He's just going to up and leave or quit too?
No.
I don't think so. I mean, things are working out.
You don't want
out.
Him to be upset either. He's been a really good hire for them.
He's got ties to this organization. I think that Garrett's finally found his groove, right? I think he was a little in over his head as a head coach, but I think he's perfect as an offensive coordinator. So I wouldn't read too much there being any dysfunction, and we'll see how it goes moving forward.
We were talking before the show, though. It's fascinating. It normally, with a team 3-7, and you hear about a near coach fist fight, you think your team's in the worst shape ever. And because of sort of the trajectory of this team, and again, what they're being compared to across the hall with the Jets, I see this as sort of like a coach who's feisty, who's probably getting a team to rally behind him because of how much he cares and the way he's handling it. Like, perspective is everything. If this happened with the Jets, guys, we're talking about it's a raging inferno. And it's kind of nothing.
No. Well, it is interesting.
It would be interesting if they actually
fought.
I would love to know. God, I'd really like the details.
And the guy who said that they fought, he tweeted it out, works for Fox. And, you know, the people at Fox have a lot of people that are very closely connected to the Giants. Strahan, Glazer. So you would think that that guy who reported it, wouldn't he have run it by Strahan or Glazer? Not quite sure, but the Giants emphatically deny that anything of the sort happened.
Well, it's all semantics, right? I mean, they could have pushed each other. Does that mean it's a physical altercation? I'm sure it was heated.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. With Colombo being as big as he is, if he showed disrespect to Judge in a way that players saw as, like, ultimate disrespect, and Judge did anything physical, I think that with a guy who's 6'8", 375 pounds, whatever he is, I think Judge wins over so much respect for stepping to someone, if that's the truth.
Well, nobody's there other than getting tests because of the bye week, so maybe nobody saw it. It was Tuesday night.
Damn it.
It was last night, supposedly, this happened. That's the Big Blue Report brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Now, you know what the deal is right now. We're going to tell you about our 20 for 20 giveaway.
Yeah.
So up until, I guess, a week from today, next Wednesday, we've been giving away, by then it would be 20 days, a great prize every single day to make this lousy year of 2020 better for you.
Mm.
So many people have enjoyed what they've won. Today, the prize is an Ion portable indoor-outdoor projector with a powerful speaker. Yeah. We've given away one of these already, so these are highly coveted. Now, you know the rules of engagement here. You have to guess one of the great celebrity guests that we've had. How long have we been on the air, Don?
1947.
So in all that time, we've had great guests.
Yeah.
Great guests. I mean, our first guest, I think, in 47 was Branch Rickey.
What an episode that was.
That was good. And we had Jackie on as well, so that was great.
Yeah, it was our first remote from Ebbets Field.
From Ebbets Field. Here is the celebrity voice that you have to identify. And then later on in the hour, we'll tell you when to call. And the first one with the correct answer wins this great indoor-outdoor projector and a powerful speaker. So here is today's celebrity voice.
It's the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20.
As I look at my body of work, I mean, in historical context, I'm very proud of what I did on the field.
Wow.
Oof. What?
I don't know, Don. What do you think?
At first blush, I don't know. I'd have to hear this again.
That's
now tough. We're going to allow everybody to hear it again in our next segment. But I'm a little flummoxed.
Oh man, that was
I got nothing. I have
and
nothing.
It's your fault. If the audience finds that hard, by the way, you have two people to blame: Michael and Don.
Oh,
because they pushed
innocent?
Andrew. They pushed
I
him.
Hate Don.
They pushed him, and now Andrew's just playing random voices from strangers.
No. They're all. Big names.
No, because I've had it.
There was a point in the middle of it that I thought I heard something that I recognized, but I can't really nail it down.
At Hospodar?
No, nope, not I him. Think it's Hospodar.
Not big enough.
Yeah. How dare you?
Oh, well,
Hospodar family. Don't apologize to the Hospodar family.
Former Flyer, former Ranger. I don't think he would qualify for this contest as a big name.
Why?
Yeah, because why? He just wouldn't.
Okay. I mean,
think of the names that we've had here.
Go ahead.
Super Bowl champions, NBA MVPs, right?
Yeah.
Henrik Lundqvist.
Vezina Trophy winners.
We've had Eli Manning.
Zach Britton.
No, we have not had Britton yet. We had Walt Frazier.
That's right.
That was very difficult. So we'll give you that audio clue in a couple more minutes so you can hear it again before we ask you to call in. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So Seth Greenberg will give us the lay of the land with the players that might be drafted tonight. Jeff Van Gundy will give us the lay of the land about how a James Harden would fit with a Durant and an Irving and whether Westbrook would fit with the young players on the Knicks. So a lot of stuff there for you. This giveaway as well. And remember, we told you on Monday when Sam Darnold was on with us, another big giveaway that we put together is Sam and the Fam, which is we're going to give you an opportunity to win a virtual meeting with the Jet quarterback. You and your family for a half hour could sit and talk with Sam virtually. And you have to continue to listen to the show because we'll tell you how you could do that. But today, the 20 and 20 giveaway, actually this hour. So please sit back. Really, just luxuriate in the entertainment that's going to come out in the speakers. I'm ready for it. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LeGreco Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. A massive story breaking.
Right now?
Yeah, right now. Jeff Passan just tweeted this out. This is enormous.
Wow.
On many fronts. Passan writing, breaking. New York Mets second baseman Robinson Cano has tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug and will be suspended for the entire 2021 season. Sources familiar with the situation tell ESPN. He will forfeit a $24 million salary. The news story is going to be up on ESPN. We'll talk about it now. Right now, the Mets become huge players to get DJ LeMahieu. Because second base is open. You got to worry or not whether there's going to be a DH. And if Cano could move over to the DH, and that would open up second base for LeMahieu, Yankees just got a lot of competition for DJ LeMahieu if the Mets elect to go that way. Also, the Mets have freed up $24 million that they thought was allocated to be on their payroll. Now it's gone.
Real quick, if you lose the 20, if he's gone for this year, that means that $24 million that was part of his deal is permanently gone?
Gone.
You don't have to worry about that.
So what was an awful trade when it was made now becomes at least $24 million less awful. And the final thing I want to say on this, the stupidity of Robinson Cano. The reason he's going to be suspended for years is because he's already been suspended for 80 games once. So your second infraction is a year, and the third infraction is you're suspended from baseball for good. Now you can reapply. He just gave away $24 million. For what reason? For what reason would you do this?
Well, because obviously he's getting to the point in his career where he probably feels like he needs to do it.
Remember, he's got the money already, Don. This is money now he lost.
Well, I get it, but I guess he wants to. He wants to play at a certain level. Remember, he was awful when he first got here. Actually, had a very good season this year.
Yeah, I wonder why now.
Which makes you then wonder,
because Joel Sherman reported the other day that they did not hardly test at all for PEDs this year because they were so concerned about the COVID testing.
So forget his reasons why. All right. So it's they free up a ton of money, right? Listen, Cano, again, he hit 316 with 10 home runs this year, so he was a good player for them. Okay, but the fact remains is that they'd be better with DJ LeMahieu as their second baseman in 2021, and to free up this much money, not that there's money that's needed now because we're out of the Wilpons and all that, it's a big deal. That's
huge
major competition
deal
for the Yankees. Oh no, Don,
bless you.
Do you think this is more of just like an excuse for them now? I mean, they could have made a move for LeMahieu regardless.
Yeah, I mean, they would have maneuvered, and, LeMahieu could have played third. But now his best position is second base. He's won two gold gloves there. So now you could put him at the position that he's most suited for, best suited for. Although Stephen Cohen owns the team, people do have a budget. So they probably budgeted X amount of hundreds of million dollars for the payroll. Well, now they just got a gift of $24 million that they could spend on something else. Yeah, maybe they go after a Bauer now. Maybe LeMahieu was still in their budget even before this happened with the play third base. So a lot of different. I think Met fans should look at this as a positive because the back end of Cano's contract was an albatross. That's why I never understood exactly why Brody did it. And I think that deals like this cost Brody his job. And he will never get a GM job again. If you look at the deals that he made, they're just dreadful. And they're dreadful in the sense that they have long-lasting ramifications, like trading Jared Kelenic, who might be a superstar in baseball. But this is a good thing for the Mets. They'll make their team better. You get rid of a 37, 38-year-old second baseman, that's a great thing for this team.
Now, how does it work when the suspension is up?
He has to come back. They have to have him back.
So you have to factor that in, from a budgetary standpoint. It's not like, all right, we can just be done with him, because how many years does he have left?
Two more after this.
All right, so I guess they could just, you know, what with the money they now have, when he comes back, if you went and got LeMahieu, it's not like you're going to bench LeMahieu. He comes back, and maybe just send him on his way and just, you know, pay the rest of his salary. Goodbye.
Or what this guy also did with this these two suspensions, he is guaranteed he will never make the Hall of Fame. And believe me, that guy has Hall of Fame talent. Guaranteed he'll never make the Hall of Fame. Not only did he get suspended once, he gets suspended twice.
Mm. Then you can open up the conversation. Like, how does that happen? Like, how does that happen? You've got your contract. You've been busted already. You know that one more time is going to cost you a year and $24 million. I don't know how you continue to do it. Unless
not to name names, Don. There have been guys in this game that have had unbelievable seasons, a couple of seasons in a row, and then signed massive contracts. And then they fall off a cliff.
Why?
Because the thing that got them the massive contract, they're smart and they go, well, I got my money now. I'm not blowing it. I'm not blowing it by being suspended. So the team really takes the hit because the player they thought they were getting is not that player. And the player continues to collect his money. Now, I'm not going to get myself sued. Go down major league rosters and see who I'm talking about. Now, several of these players.
When was this test administered?
I guess it had to be. You do get tested during the offseason. Now, here's a statement from the Mets, Sandy Alderson. We're extremely disappointed to be informed about Robinson's suspension for violating MLB's joint drug prevention and treatment program. The violation is very unfortunate for him, the organization, our fans, and the sport. The Mets fully support MLB's efforts toward eliminating performance-enhancing substances from the game. Well, one thing that Sandy's not being totally forthright, it is not unfortunate for the team. It is not unfortunate for the fans. It is a complete gift. It's a holiday gift for them. I mean, I feel badly for Robinson Cano, who, the time that I knew him coming up with the Yankees, he was a very pleasant guy and had one of the sweetest swings I've ever seen and was so smooth in the field. But this is so dumb. This is so super dumb.
Well, I guess you don't want to dance on his grave, right?
No.
Say it's unfortunate. And it also reflects poorly because this happened, you know, on the Mets watch. I mean, he is a Met player, so you don't. You know, so you do what you got to do from a politically correct standpoint or whatever, and he is still your player. So he's got two more years left on his contract, so I guess you don't want to burn any bridges depending on how things end up working themselves out. But no, for this year, DJ LeMahieu is a much younger, a much better, more versatile player. So if they can be more in the market for him, or if this gives them money, if they were thinking about Bauer and now $24 million frees themselves up that they're totally in on Bauer, yeah, that's all good news for the Mets. All good news.
Now, some historical perspective. Don, you and I were on this show when the Yankees let him go to Seattle. Yes. Boy, did they get blasted. They wanted to give him a 7-year deal, which would have been over at the end of this year. And he wanted 10. And they said no. And the Yankee fans blasted him. And we always talk about, have the Yankees ever lost a player they wanted? I don't know how much they wanted Cano, but they did offer him more money per year than Seattle did. But Seattle tagged on the 3 extra years. Yankee said no, walk away, and he did. Right now, that looks like a great deal. Imagine if this was an albatross on their salary structure. So, but the Yankees actually panicked, though, after they lost Cano, in my opinion, and then went out and got Jacoby Ellsbury. And that didn't turn out too great.
That kind of, you know, eliminated the great decision with Cano by making a miserable decision with Ellsbury. Now, and what did the Yankees know? Because we always suspected he was very close to Melky. Melky got busted once he left the Yankees. Was this something the Yankees kind of saw was going to happen?
Wow, what a big story. Out of nowhere.
Really out of nowhere. New York's been bombarded with stories today.
So I don't know how steroids work, Michael, other than having the conversations we've had for the better part of 15 years, maybe 20 years now. But why would he have it in his system now, a month after the season's over?
It's crazy.
You know
unless
what I'm
he,
saying?
Unless he wants to, again, this is just conjecture. You take it in the winter to build yourself up to a point that when you get to spring training, you stop taking it.
Oh, but you know you're going to get tested. You know you're going to get banged for a year. But we saw, you know.
And he doesn't just lose $24 million, though. I think he's owed more than that. But the Mets only have to pay a certain amount of that because the Mariners took some money. Maybe it is $24 million. Yeah, it was $240 million for 10 years.
I think the way it worked, he loses $24 million. I think the Mets save 21.
There
if I saw the story correct.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. So he loses 24. The Mets save 21, which is still spectacular from a Met fan standpoint. But trying to get behind the logic, I guess if you do it, you do it. Maybe that's just what it comes down to. Is I'm not going to stop.
A lot of it's ego.
Got to find better
John,
ways to not get caught.
I think you hit on it. A lot of it's ego. I can't imagine not being the player that I was, and the only way I could be that player is to do this. I mean, let's be honest. He's a friend of the show, but that's probably what Alex got caught up in. He got snared once and still did it again.
Yeah, because it's not an addictive drug, but I guess the results are what you get addicted to.
Yes, you get addicted to the results, how it makes you feel.
And, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe he had such a down year when he first got here, had a resurgence this year. He understands, you know, that the new ownership was going to be coming in and that, you know, he probably knew that Cohen was going to get the team and maybe, you know, this would be with all the money that he has, he wouldn't feel obligated to play somebody just to justify the contract. And so he wanted to be on his best behavior as far as hitting was concerned to make that first impression. I guess that's because you've already got the contract. So I guess in a way, you wanted to back up your contract. It wasn't like that he was using it to get the contract. I guess he wanted to justify it. That was always the logic behind Alex, right? He wanted to justify the contract to Texas.
I think it's ego. You never want to be an ordinary player.
But what cost, though?
At $24
million. Yeah, it's apparently $24 million
is the cost. So because he's done PEDs, he's lost $36 million in his career. $12 million for half a season. Now $24 for a full season. If he pulls this act again, that's it. He's done. His contract's voided. He's done.
Michael, I could see you getting hooked on the same thing. Not for, like, performance, because your performance can't be an
advantage. Just vanity.
But for vanity. Like, if you... And by the way, I say that because I could relate, too. If I started popping some vitamin, and it just started making you look just jacked up and amazing, you could get hooked on it.
I would like to think I wouldn't go there, but who knows? I have enough of...
I mean, it's not like he can't do it.
Pain enough.
Peter? He's got the access to do that if he wanted to.
And you know what? Well, but they don't have
magic. We don't have tests at the station for PEDs.
But yeah, but you need. There's not just a magic, you know, pill that makes you all of a sudden jacked. You got to then do work too.
Yeah, I don't want to do that anyway.
Nobody puts in the work more than Michael does. Come on, let's be honest.
The 20 and 20 giveaway. You know what we're giving away today, right?
I'm anxious to hear
an iron portable. Indoor-outdoor projector with a powerful speaker.
Why does this prize have to be like the win-loss-loss-loss-win game?
Because I'm thinking, you don't just make one decision. Okay, it's indoor, and I'm going to put outdoor, and it stays there. It goes back and forth.
But the outdoor-indoor or indoor-outdoor applies that. You don't have to throw a couple more in.
I'm thinking that the indoor-outdoor
outdoor-indoor
is definitive. It's it. It's indoor, you take it outdoor, it stays. No. Indoor, outdoor, indoor, outdoor. I'm sorry if it bothers you, but today, it's a very difficult audio clue. Let's hear it again.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
It's the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20.
As I look at my body of work, I mean, in historical context, I'm very proud of what I did on the field.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, I'm not even close to... Are you guys... I don't know sport.
I'm not close. No, not close.
And I'm just basing it off of what he's saying because how it sounds, no clue.
My guess would
be based on what he's saying.
I'm excited to see the myriad of guesses we get because people are going to be all over the map. How could you not be?
I'm not sure that once I know that I'm going to be like, oh, yeah.
And this is for an outdoor, indoor, indoor, outdoor.
Right. Not just an indoor, outdoor.
But an outdoor, indoor, indoor, outdoor.
All right, so let's towel off, try to Please. Figure that out. We'll ask you to call in just a bit. You could call in right now if you want to talk about Cano. The Joe Judge firing of Colombo now, it's nothing.
Oh, this was shelved.
So stick around. The show, we can pivot on a dime. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know, I'm so curious about who the celebrity voice is that I'm going to go right to it, Don.
Okay.
You're jumping right in?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it warrants it. It's time for 98.7's 20 and 20 contest. Now, if you've been listening to today's fine show, You've heard a clip from one of the many stars who've joined the Michael K. Show over the years. We're going to line up callers, and you'll have one try to guess the K. Show celebrity for your chance to win big. So, if you think you know who we featured in today's clip, call us at 1-800-919-ESPN for your chance to win today's 20 and 20 prize.
Here we go.
It's an Ion portable, indoor-outdoor, indoor-outdoor, indoor-outdoor projector with powerful speaker. It's 98.7 ESPN's 20 and 20 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richardson, Kansas City Steak, and the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand.
Here we go.
So excited about this.
I'm ready.
All right, let's go right to it. Let's go to Matt in Baldwin. Matt.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Good.
All right, who is
it? First-time caller.
Oh, welcome aboard, Matt. Hope you win.
Thank you.
All right, who's the voice?
Bill Belichick.
No.
Well, can you at least think about it for a second, Michael?
What?
Think about it for a second.
Think about what?
If it's Belichick.
I know it's not because we've never had him on.
Got it. Okay. Oh, so Don, you know that. All right. Got it.
Right, Michael?
Go to Richard in Hackensack. Richard, who is that voice, Richard? Richard?
Richard.
Richard. Richard.
Yes.
Who's the voice? Who is it?
Hello.
Hello, Richard, do you hear us? Oh, we're going to move on, RJ. RJ had tired of it.
Well, that guess was as good as mine.
I wonder if we're going to get a correct answer. Now, I do know. They've told me in my ear who it is.
Oh, don't hint anything. That's don't hint weak. Anything.
Well, I have to tell them if they're right or wrong,
well,
Donald.
No, RJ hits the bell. Right? The way I thought it worked, Peter.
I always know the answer at some point.
Of course
I like to try to guess the first two times. I couldn't get it. I'll tell you this. Anthony Greek got it.
Really?
Producer, yes.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Let's go to Brian in Point Pleasant. Brian?
Yeah.
What do you got? Who's the voice?
I'm thinking we got Cashman.
No, it's not Brian Cashman. Thank you, Brian. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Jason in Sanford. Jason.
I think it's Mike Piazza.
Yes, wow. You're right.
No.
Sweet.
Did you know it right away, Jason?
I did for some reason, as soon as I heard it.
Are you a Met fan?
Absolutely.
Perfect. So you get the Ion portable indoor-outdoor, 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 indoor-outdoor projector with a powerful speaker. Can you use that? You going to like it?
Absolutely. My TV is like 10 years old, and I have bad speakers, so this is perfect.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, glad that you listened to the show. I'm glad that you got the answer right. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll put you on hold and get all of your information so we could send you that projector.
Appreciate it, guys.
You got it, Jason. All right, do you want to hear it again, Don?
Yes,
because
please.
I know you're a little flummoxed. And here was the curveball to our listeners. They know it's always been very difficult for us to get Mets on. But I think when Piazza was on, he was an ex-Met. He had retired.
Yes.
All right, so let's listen again so Don could maybe find something there.
It's the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20.
As I look at my body of work, I mean, in historical context, I'm very proud of what I did on the field.
Okay, I can hear it. I can hear it now. I'm not upset, though.
You're not beating yourself up?
No. Are you?
No. I mean, of everybody that we've spoken about on the show, I think Cano's beating himself up. None of the three of us.
That's true.
All right, so in Jeff Passan's story online right now, he has 2 years, $48 million remaining on his contract. And the Mariners are going to pay down $7.5 million of that.
Okay.
So the Mets will be responsible for $40.5 million. And that puts a little bit of a pause button. Because if you're going to sign somebody for that much money, it's probably going to be for a number of years. So it's not like that number was freed up forever. If he got suspended for life, it'd be freed up forever. But if you put that money into somebody now it would also test the resolve of Trevor Bauer, who has always said, I'd like to sign a number of one-year contracts. Mm. Well, here's your chance.
But
here's so your they'll chance. Owe him, the Mets 33, give him a $24 million contract.
So they'll still. The total was 48 after this year?
Yes.
And the Mariners pay 7, so 40 still from them.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's a tough. That's tough because that's a lot of money. So if you go after DJ, right?
Right.
You have to then you have to factor in, all right, what do I do when Cano comes back? Because I got to pay this guy $40 million over the next 2 years.
And I would say that Cano is probably unmovable.
Right. And also, as much money as Cohen may have, I don't think he's just going to cut Cano and pay him to not play.
No, because, you know, when he's taking the right drugs that are masked properly, he can hit.
Right. Because that's what it comes down to, right? It's not stopping it. Is it, will he find something else, a cocktail that won't be seen? But, you know, you make it work. Like, are you going to have him be your, you know, a bench player for the final years of his career?
Yeah, because if you get
could be your second base.
The beauty of LeMahieu, though, is you get him, and he can play anywhere. He can play at first, he can play at second, he can play at third. So you could plug him in at second this year and then move him over to third the final 2 years of Cano's contract. And I've called a lot of people on this in the last couple of days. LeMahieu, his agent, wants a 5-year deal. He's 32 years old. Now, I personally do not think the Yankees will give him 5 years.
No.
I think they will draw a line there. Maybe they, I think in their perfect world, they give him 3. They maybe, again, this is just me guessing, they push it to 4. But I think if anybody wants to nail it down, they give him a 5-year deal when he's 37 years old. I think you get him. I don't think it'd be wise to go that long. That's why I laugh when Yankee fans say, well, you got to get him no matter what. No. That's not the way it works. That's a line item on your payroll that's not going to be removed for 5 years, and you're taking a player to his age 37 season. People don't understand that everything has ramifications. So a lot of people thought that the Stanton deal was a no-brainer, and I thought at the time, and they're not giving up anything, they're just repeating a talent, but they are getting the reigning MVP. Well, you're stuck with him for 7 more years, and all that money that he makes for the next 7 years is money you can't spend on something else. So if you're going to give DJ LeMahieu a 5-year deal, that's money you're not going to be spending on something else. That's what fans don't take into account, but good GMs do.
Well, Cano is what, 38 now? He just turned 38. He was born in October 22nd, 1982.
So you're going to ask a guy to miss a whole year and come back and play at 39?
But my logic is just from the LeMahieu situation. Like, am I going to pay a guy to be my second baseman until he's 37 years old? Well, I'm paying a guy right now to be my second baseman who's 38.
Right.
And if we make it to the World Series, he's going to be 39. You know, so I have my second baseman is under contract till 40. So why worried about giving his replacement money till he's 37?
Yeah, but right? The previous administration got themselves fired for this deal.
Right, but you're still going to be younger at second base.
Right.
At the end of LeMahieu's contract than you are right now with your current second baseman.
Yeah. But again, they didn't make this move to get the second baseman, so maybe that's not the way they think. So I'd be very intrigued to see a team give him his 5th year. I know Yankee fans say no matter what the cost, and I'd love to see him back too. He's a phenomenal player, and he probably has a swing that ages well, if you know what I mean. He's not a power hitter.
Right.
So he could probably be an effective player at 37, but do you want to take that chance? And that's what the Yankees have to decide. And, you know, why bid against themselves? Go out and see if you get a 5th year, and then we'll make the decision. But a lot of stuff to talk about. NBA draft coming up tonight. You could hear it here on 98.7. You could watch it on ESPN starting at 7:30. And the NBA draft is going to be wrapped around Chris Carlin as well, who'll analyze all the picks. So stick around. We're going to analyze some of the things that are going on as well. Cano gets suspended. Big news broken by our very own Jeff Passan. It's Kay, LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This
is the Michael Kay Show.
New York Mets second baseman Robinson Cano has tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug and will be suspended for the entire 2021 season. He will forfeit a $24 million salary. Right now, the Mets become huge players to get DJ LeMay. The stupidity of Robinson Cano. The reason he's going to be suspended for years is because he's already been suspended for 80 games once.
They'd be better with DJ LeMay as their second baseman in 2021. And to free up this much money is a big deal.
This is the Michael Kay Show.
I think it's ego. You never want to be an ordinary player.
But what cost, though?
At $24 million.
Yeah, it's apparently $24 million
is the cost.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, if you just tuned in, big news. You heard in the rejoin, Robinson Cano suspended for the upcoming season for the Mets, forfeiting $24 million, opening $24 million for the Mets to spend on something else. PED suspension, second one in his career. First one resulted in 80-game suspension. This one, 162-game suspension. And the next one would be a lifetime suspension. So, a lot of ramifications. Could make the Mets more of a player on DJ LeMahieu. The Mets could fill that spot with a Jeff McNeil. They certainly have options. Now they have $24 million, or I guess 21, because I guess the Mariners are going to pay $3 million of that. They have $21 million that they could play with that they didn't think that they get to play with, so they could get another toy.
So when you're thinking about whether you want to give that extra year to LeMahieu, do you look at it and say, well, with the $21 million we saved, isn't that like a free year of LeMahieu? Like,
I guess
I don't really
want to
give him five, but you know, it's like we're getting like one of those 5 years for free because this is found money. This is money we thought we were allocating to a 38-year-old second baseman. And now we're going to have it a 32-year-old second baseman.
Now, we're going to be all over this. You might be wondering, why does Michael look so good today?
That's
another
a great
Yankee
question.
Hot stove tonight. Zach Britton's going to be there. And obviously the Cano story is going to be part of the discussion, as will Gary Sanchez, what the Yankees should do with him. So that's coming up right after this at 7 o'clock. So the Cano story is the big one. NBA draft is tonight. Seth Greenberg going to join us at 4:30, and Jeff Van Gundy will join us at 5 to help us break that down. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to James in Mayapak. James, start it off.
You doing, guys? Listen, I have a different angle on the Cano thing. I just thought of the suspension is not for a season; it's for 162 games. If they only play 60, 70 games next year, that's going to run into the next year too. It's possible the Mets could get 2 free years out of this deal. What do you think?
I think that there was something like that with Domingo Germán. I think it's, you know, because AJ Hinch and Alex Cora was suspended for a year. This is a year. Now, you could say it's 162, but it is a baseball season. And last season was just 60 games. So right. Cora and Hinch came back after... No, well, Cora was actually fired. Hinch was suspended. But, no, I guess they both ended up being suspended. But they counted the 60 as 162. Let's go to Ed in Queens. Ed?
How you doing?
How are you?
Yeah, I do. You know, I understand the Robinson Cano thing. I mean, I know you can't relate, and it's a very hard thing. It doesn't seem to make sense. But as a person who, you know, I take what's called pro hormones, which is a, you know, form of a steroid, much, you know, it's much weaker, you know, and I get it, you know, I don't get in trouble. It's not illegal,
right?
You know, but it's still a performance-enhancing drug, you know. And if I tested, I would test positive for performance-enhancing drugs. But what it does, Peter says, not a magic pill. It really is kind of like, you know, a magic pill. You know,
what does it do?
Pains go away. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What does it do for you?
I go to the gym regularly, so I'm able to lift, you know, bench press and do the things that I was doing back when I was in my 30s and, you know, early 40s. I'm 52 now, you know. The recovery is what is probably even more.
Yeah, but here's the question, man.
I have a short shoulder, right? And shoulder injury, right? If I stop taking these pro hormones, which I have because it causes me to have a thyroid condition, right? So I would come off of it, right? I would stop taking them. And then the pains would come back. The shoulder pain would just come back. I can't work out anymore, really, like I'm supposed to. And it's like a horrible feeling, you know?
But, Ed, if you knew that if you continued to take them, that you'd lose $24 million, would you fight the urge to take it?
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Yeah. That's why you can't really feel sorry for the guy, because, I mean, that to me, yeah. And we thank you for the call, it's pure stupidity.
See, what I worry from a baseball standpoint is, like, what happened with Melky. He never had any intention of ever stopping. He thought he had it figured out, and he got stupid for a time and got busted. Like, is this the way we've gotten around PEDs, where it's just, hey, I'm still taking it, I figured out the system, and I'll be more careful this time, and I will not get caught. So, is everybody still doing it? It's just that they've all gotten smart and figured out ways around it, and Robinson just got stupid for a day and forgot to do whatever he was supposed to do and got busted? Or are these guys just colossally stupid and just don't care?
I think they have to care about $24 million. I mean, Robinson grew up in humble beginnings. Now, he's made a lot of money in his career, but $24 million you can't sniff at.
But so, did somebody figure something out? Because this is what happened with Melky, right? It was just they had it figured out. He just let his guard down for a second, got busted. Where, hey, listen, people do it, and they know the way around it. And if you follow the rules, you will not get caught. But if you get stupid for a week or a day or forget the policy for just a second, then you get busted. So is that what it really is? That everybody's found the loophole and Robinson just got stupid for a moment? Or did his stupidity come with just spitting in the face of the rules and rolling the dice literally on $24 million?
Let's go to Matt in Middletown. Matt.
Good show so far, Mike. I'm watching you on Yes. You look fantastic, by
Thank
the way.
You
just
so
wanted to
much,
say that
Matt.
Before we get into it.
Thank you.
So I want to talk about LeMahieu. When it comes to him, let's say the Mets want to give him 5 years, per right. se. Let's say Steve Cohen wants to bite the bullet and say, give him an extra year. I think the Yankees' primary focus needs to be on Francisco Lindor. I think that needs to be number one priority. I know they need pitching, but they got Herman coming back from the suspension. They got Severino coming back. So I think all priorities on Lindor if they don't give LeMahieu that fifth year, or if he even wants it.
Well, I think LeMahieu really wants to play with the Yankees. From everything I'm hearing, Luke Voit was on the Hot Stove Show on Monday, told Meredith Marakovich, you know, he wants to be in New York. Now, Cano did too, but Cano moved to the farthest outpost in Major League Baseball. Great city, but you're away from everything in Seattle because that's where the money was. So people might want to play somewhere, but money has a clarion call that sometimes can't be fought. You know, I'm the one who pushed for the Lindor thing. But remember, you're going to have to give up a lot of your assets. And if you give up a lot of your assets, that means you're going to have to sign him. So this year he's going to make $20 million, which is a bargain for a player of his talent.
Right.
Switch hitter, great personality, electric in everything he does. But that's going to cost you a lot of money for a lot of years when next year Corey Seager's a free agent, Trevor Story's a free agent, Carlos Correa is a free agent. Lindor is a free agent. And you can get all of them just for money. So to get that jump and to get him this year, you're going to have to trade away a lot of assets and then still pay him the money. And that's a tough call. That's a tough call if you're the Yankees. Not easy. Not easy at all. Let's go to Sal in Dutchess County.
Hey, guys. Good show as always.
Thanks, Sal.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. Before I ask my main question, can I just ask you about since I thought the trivia guy was Ron Darling instead of Piazza?
Yeah, it was Piazza.
Yeah, I know. But okay, let's go back to Ron Darling. Remember when him and Dykstra were on and they were Dykstra was suing him for something on the book? Whatever happened to that? Before I get to my main question,
Lenny continually takes shots at him on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not sure where any lawsuit stands, but he continually hammers on Twitter.
Okay, now back to my regular question with Cano. Since he's out for the whole year, this coming year, is he allowed to go to, say, Japan, China, or any place else to play, or is he just has to sit out for the whole year?
I believe so. I can't say a blanket he can't play, but I believe Japan, and we thank you for the phone call, has an agreement with the states that they would recognize the suspension. So I don't think he could play in Japan. Maybe he could play. I don't even know if do the Dominican leagues actually play during baseball season? It might be too hot. I know they play during the winter. I'm not sure if he could play in Korea or anything like that, but
where
I think
Manny
Japan
play when he was suspended. I thought Manny played in Korea.
Yeah, you might be right.
Was that
maybe
after
he retired? That was after he retired, right?
Yeah, that was post.
Now, there's got to he probably could find some place to play.
Well, I think he's going to have to play somewhere. I mean, you can't sit out at the age of 38 and come back and just say, "Oh, I'm back." Let's go to Angelo and Carteret. Angelo. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. About the Yankees, I'm thinking they should trade Luke Voit to the Indians in the trade for Francisco Lindor and re-sign LeMahieu and have LeMahieu at first.
Well, I mean, that would be a nice, sexy thing to do, but I'm going to tell you this, too. A lot of people don't realize it. Hal Steinbrenner on this show said the Yankees lost more money because of this past season than any of the other 29 teams in baseball. My guess would be their payroll is going down. So if you get Lindor and you're adding $20 million, Luke Voit didn't make hardly anything, and then if you bring LeMahieu back in addition to Lindor, it's anywhere from $20 to $22 million. So you've just increased your payroll. So that's $42 million commitment for those two players when LeMahieu made 12 last year. They're not going to do that. People have to come to grips with this. The Yankees are not going to go crazy with money this offseason. Brian Cashman and his staff are going to have to get really creative to fill the holes they have on the team, to make the defense better. And this might be one of those years
where
they're going to have to go with their young pitchers. You've got Jordan Montgomery as your number five. You got one of the best pitchers in baseball as your number one. Then they got to fill it in. Maybe Domingo Germán, who made his first appearance in winter ball, pitched 4 no-hit innings. He does come back and satisfies Hal Steinbrenner's order that, you know, things have to be right in his life. Well, then he could be a number three, and they've got to fill in a number two or a number four. I think one fly in the ointment for the Yankees was Drew Smyly. Drew Smyly from the Braves got $11 million. Most people penciled him in at $5 or $6 million. So there's always going to be a price paid for pitchers. Drew Smyly got $11 million. If the Yankees thought they were going to be able to bring back Tanaka at 10 after he made 23, if Drew Smyly got 11, Tanaka's going to get 15. So that's where it gets a little bit hinky. And if they're really set on getting under the luxury threshold, I don't think there's going to be a lot of expenditure. I just don't. They're going to have to get really creative.
But it's not like they're bereft of young talent. I mean, maybe you just have to give Garcia a shot. We saw Montgomery step it up in the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of teams that are forced to make financial decisions and are just going blind at a young player. Garcia showed some signs. Maybe if they showed faith in him in game two, maybe they would have won the series. Montgomery saved your bacon in game four.
So no, you've got guys that can pitch.
Yeah.
And they're on the precipice. But how often do the Yankees go into the season with maybes? And, you know, going with Garcia and expecting him to make 30 starts is a maybe. Clark Schmidt is a maybe. Mike King is a maybe. I mean, it's a little bit of a maybe.
But
Herman's not a maybe because he won 18 games the last time he pitched. Montgomery's not a maybe, and neither is Garrett Cole. But you've got to, and you can't just go into a season with five pitchers. You almost have to go in with eight because everybody's going to go on the IL at some point.
But, you know, Yankee fans want guarantees at every position. You know, I heard you talking last night about Paxton. I mean, maybe you can bring him back. And it wouldn't be that expensive because he didn't pitch for you really this year. You
know, I think he could be a really good pitcher. Well, yeah. Look, you watch the Hot Stove Show.
Of course. Now, did it just happen to be on because my wife was watching, yes, and when I went upstairs and was changing diapers, it was in the background? Or did I sit down and consume?
I think a little of both.
Let's assume the latter, okay? Because I did hear you say that about Paxton.
Well, we know for sure Peter did not watch a second of it.
How dare you? Peter
did you watch
set,
a second
not
of
watch
it?
Watch a second. No.
Doug in Connecticut. Doug?
I didn't.
Hello, guys.
How you doing?
Doug. I wanted to make a PED point, but I wanted to say first, Michael, on Monday you were upset saying that callers are calling in saying how much they love Don and they love Peter.
It
I just
hurts,
want you to
though.
Know that you're one of my three favorites on the show.
That's oh, nice. Right. Look See, at you. Nice.
That's I also, on my PED point, I just want to say to Don and Michael that Peter's playing this innocent role about asking about, well, what does it do? what are the symptoms? You know, one of the things about PEDs is when you take them on a regular basis, you have a very rapid and immense growth of body hair.
Ooh.
So, you know, don't let them fool you guys.
I don't know what you're implying.
I think we all know what he's implying, well, that you might implying. be dabbling.
I would ask Peter to save his money because I don't think it's working.
Wow. Wait, we'll be working for hair for, oh, you mean, what about arm hair?
No, but I'm saying is that...
But he's in great shape, Don. Don't you disparage Peter.
He's in very good shape, but I'm not seeing a lot of bulk. I'm not seeing a...
Maybe that's how he chooses to be.
Mm. Yeah, but then that's still not good steroid use.
Oh, he's using it for endurance and stamina.
Recovery.
Recover from what?
You know, he works hard days. He has two full-time jobs.
I think everything that we do for a living, we all work very hard, right? We all have multiple jobs. We all work our tail off. Sleep is our recovery.
We're not
shredding our bodies that we've got to like be, you know, chugging Gatorade and protein bars to get through.
I don't sleep at all. It's so sad. Every day I'm exhausted. I can't sleep at night.
Well, why don't you take like an herbal thing or something?
I don't want to.
Oh, there's an herbal thing you could take.
What's
ganja?
If that got you to sleep like 9 great hours of like complete REM, would you partake?
I am so bereft of sleep right now that I have to consider it. Probably take it in a pill form.
Like an edible.
Yeah. If you could guarantee me 9 hours of sleep, when was the last time you sleep maybe three hours.
When was the last time you got a good 9?
Maybe 3 weeks ago.
Mm. Man, that was the day you slept from like 9 to 11 the next day.
Yeah.
And nothing? That didn't recharge your battery at all?
Well, for that, yeah. But then it just, because I feel so awful all the time, then my mind races at night, I'm lost. I have no chance.
I got the Fitbit, and it tells you, it gives you a sleep number.
Right.
And 90 is excellent. You want to be in the 80s, that's good. I can't consistently be in the 80s. I'm always between, like, in the 70s or high 70s.
Well, you have apnea, right?
Yeah, but I took the test where they put the on your finger and you sleep to see if I'm getting enough oxygen. Sometimes I get into the 80s. I want to get into the 90s. Never slept into the 90s. That'd be amazing.
You slept through the 80s, though. Let's go to Joe and Lindenhurst. Joe?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. How we doing?
Great. How are you?
Very well. Listen, got to work at a decent time, turn on the radio, listen to my favorite show. What's better than that?
Thank you, Joseph.
Beautiful. I mean, come on. First time, actually. Big fan of you, Michael. Definitely becoming one of my favorites. But Don, easily making the Mount Rushmore of New York podcasting, I'd say.
Well, that's strong. Well, thank you.
Wow.
I appreciate it. Working the way up, for sure. For me, anyway, for whatever that's worth. But
it's worth everything.
I appreciate that, and definitely love your Jet talk on the weekends. Love your Ranger coverage. So, and I'm not a fan of either team, but you definitely have a way of capturing the ear. That's for sure. But I'm done blowing smoke for a little while. I did want to weigh in a little bit on the Cano deal. As a former steroid user myself, I'm very open about it. I get it. You know, I definitely understand. You know, as the caller alluded to a few callers back. It is somewhat like magic in a bottle. It definitely is. Anyone who kind of downplays it, you know, it's just not being honest, you know. I think that's the problem, is sometimes we're not as direct with some of these sensitive things. And, you know, we kind of leave a lot of gray area and things that shouldn't be. But I definitely understand it. But in the same breath, I don't agree with it. I think if it's very simple. If there's, you know, a rule in place and you're guilty of breaking it, you deserve every bit of the punishment that you get, regardless. And this is coming from a New England Patriots fan who saw, you know, went through Deflategate, you know, went through Spygate, and I was the first one saying, listen, guilty as charged. Guess what? Serve your suspension.
Joe, I'm glad you brought it up, and we thank you for the phone call, because people always say, well, I mean, it doesn't help you hit a baseball. If it didn't work, would somebody risk $24 million? If it didn't work. If it didn't have an effect on how you played and how you drove the ball and how successful you were, then you'd have to be institutionalized to risk $24 million. So It works.
But I think people got to get off that whole stereotype of you look like the Incredible Hulk.
No, right? not at all.
That's over, okay? The 4:30 movie or the very special episode of whatever of that
Blossom.
You become this Hulk figure and roid rage and all that's so 80s. Right now, the way it is used, especially in baseball, is to recover because it's a grind of a season. And to recover faster from injuries and to be able to just get through 162 games or 150, whatever it is, that's what it's about. That's why, you know, how many times we see a guy like Nathan Perez get, how did he have it? He's a stick figure. You know, not because it's not about that anymore. It's about trying to recover from injuries, stay strong, have stamina, all the things that have nothing to do with you bulking up.
All right, we're going to have Seth Greenberg as we shift gears. As I said, we could pivot on a dime. We'll talk NBA draft, some of the players that are coming out that we don't know that much about. So he'll illuminate us. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so interesting stuff from Jeff Van Gundy. It looks like he would get Westbrook, even if it makes you a 7th seed, which I agree with. And I thought he was very circumspect with the Harden stuff. If the players want it to work, and you think that it can work, but don't give the farm up. And he said he likes Jared Allen a lot, and I do too. But I think Jared Allen's going to have to be an ideal. And Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert.
Hey, look what I just got in the mail.
What's that?
Beautiful. Boston Celtics draft hat. Oh, I'm ready. Look at me.
Wow. I haven't seen it yet because I'm a little on delay. Now, speaking of former Celtics, we weren't, but you brought the Celtics. I'm trying to transition.
Thank you.
Andrew, a little bit of a Woj bomb. Tell us about the Sixer trade.
Yeah, big Woj bomb. Sixers trading Al Horford, a first rounder and a second rounder, to the Thunder for Danny Green, who people may not have even realized they acquired Danny Green a few days ago in the Dennis Schroeder trade, but now he's going to Philly.
There you go. Dealing Daryl Morey. Also, the big story, Robinson Cano gets suspended for the entire season for his second PED test positive. Amazing that he would do it. Cost himself $24 million, opens up money for the Mets. So we've certainly got a lot to talk about, and we're going to let you get into the conversation. We'll go first to Paul in Rochester. Paul.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I love the show. You guys are fantastic at what you do. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Let me ask Michael a question first. Michael, you're the GM of the Yankees. Are you giving DJ LeMahieu a 5-year deal?
Okay. If the Yankees want to offer him 4 years at 80, let's just say, right? I think they prefer to offer him 3 years at 60. But let's say it goes to 4 years at 80, but he wants that extra year. And you could get that extra year at a discount, like 5 years at 95, maybe I would do it. But if he wants the same amount of money for the fifth year, I got to tell you, Paul, I might not. I just don't think it's everybody gets into analytics, Don, right? Yeah. Analytics run the game. Well, show me an analytic where a player gets better as he gets older without steroids. Where is that? So if you're a slave to analytics, you've got to look at the numbers on long-term contracts when somebody turns 37.
Listen, it's not as simple as that because it's about, I think they would understand that you're probably not going to get value in maybe even the fourth or fifth year, but definitely the fifth year. But he's been your MVP two straight years, and the fans love him, and it's going to be a tough guy to lose out on, especially if you do not get Lindor.
And especially if you lose out to the Mets.
And if he ends up playing for the Mets and excelling over the next few years. You know, because listen, a lot of these contracts, and I go back to the Pedro deal when the Mets gave him 4 years. You knew the last 2 years were going to be a throwaway. But you wanted them for the now, and I think that's what the fans are looking at. Yeah, they'll be the first ones to jump the Yankees in LeMahieu if he's awful in that fifth year. Or he's hurt, and he becomes like Jed Lowry part two in the last couple of years of his contract. They'll be killing him. But in the now, they're not thinking about 4 or 5 years. So now they're thinking about next year, and he's been the MVP of the team, and to lose out on him, that would just, you can hear the fan base, Michael. Peter's comment from a couple of days ago, I think it's resonating now. A lot of these fans just love him so much. It's like, yeah, well, forget Judge. We love DJ. He's the guy. He plays every day. He plays everywhere. He's our MVP. We don't want to lose him.
It's amazing, though. We were taking phone calls when they got him. People weren't that pumped up. I said he's a great acquisition. But people weren't that,
well,
were not that pumped up.
Well, it's different when you see someone then play consistently, right? I mean, well, day in, day out for 2 years.
I mean, you got to be a pretty diehard baseball fan to be watching the Rockies every day to know what you're getting.
And know exactly how good he is.
Titleist.
Yeah, but he far exceeded anything he did in Colorado.
Yeah, the fact that he only got $12 million on a free agent market told you most of baseball didn't see it.
And
go to Todd in New Jersey.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good. So, Don, two things. I just passed Cafe Amici in your house. I was going to stop in. That's number one.
Well, you're going to stop at Cafe Amici's or my house?
Both. They're near each other. So, I could have done both. I could have brought you a pie, but, you know. Nice. So, as a Mets fan, hearing this Cano news, this is like Christmas Day. It's a new era. Everything is coming up roses now. One day, Cohen is saying all these great things. The next day, Trevor Bauer says he wants to be on the Nets. Now Cano's off Albatross, off the books. This is amazing. And we can now get trade for Lindor, put McNeil at second. We could sign DJ. We can get Springer. We could trade for Arenado and be like the Yankees were when they used to buy everything. And we're rolling now.
Well, I'm happy about it just for the fact that I think it might actually put them in the competition for LeMahieu. But let's not forget, he's coming back with 2 years left on his deal at $40-plus million. So they got to think about that when they're going to start dancing around for Bauer and for Arenado, who would be tremendous, right? I mean, I think he's easily the best third baseman in baseball. But you've got to remember that this 39-year-old is going to be coming back, and you're going to tack on another $20 million on the payroll for a guy that's probably not going to do very much, coming off a year in which he didn't play, turning 39 years old.
But, Don, we can cut him now. We don't care. Cohen doesn't care about $40 million.
Wait a second. That's the misconception that Met fans have. This guy's really smart. He didn't get $14 billion in a bank account by being an idiot.
Todd,
he's not just going to cut $41 million. What's the difference? It's in my ashtray. That's a silly way to think. He's not going to do that. He's not a stupid man.
Now, I don't think that he is going to feel like he has to justify the contract and stick him at second base every day. Just to be able to say, if I'm going to pay you $20 million a season, I'm going to play you every single day. Maybe he becomes just a role player. Maybe they will sit him on the bench or whatever. But they're not going to cut him. And
the Yankees have a lot of $40 plus million. Did they just say to Jacoby Ellsbury, go? No, you don't do that. That's stupid.
See, that's
Steve Cohen's not stupid.
I love Todd and everything, but you know, Cohen's got money, but he's. He's not. It's not going to be craziness. They have a $300 million payroll and cutting people left and right, not caring about money. He's going to care. Like, I think they're going to be in competition for players, but he's not. He's not sparking up a $50 bill to light a cigar.
Do you know
not mad
personally?
Money.
Do you know Todd personally?
Well, it sounded like he got kind of personal, said he was going to swing by the house.
Yeah, but my question to you, let's say he went to Amici's and got you a nice large pie, and you really don't know him that well, and he does bring it to your house. Would you dare eat it?
Or in the scenario, how would he know where I lived?
It's very easy to find out where everybody lives.
I'm confused.
Why are you confused?
If he came to your house and brought Don a pie, would Don eat said pie?
Right.
If you bought it from Amici's?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he
doctor it? Yeah, but from the time he drove from Amici's to your mansion,
Amici's is like 3 minutes from my house. What did he just have?
But it only takes a second to poison the pizza.
Well, all right. What if I ask for some identification? Right?
Really
well, think about it.
You need the pie that badly? We've got questions about the pizza.
I don't need it that bad, but I really don't think that he would want to kill me. In plain sight, right, Peter? He's already identified himself. It wouldn't be hard to find who he was.
Things nowadays are done in plain sight. Do you believe people when they're going to say they're going to do something? They'll do it. Hey, the Michael K. Show's 20 and 20 contest continues tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Yeah, what do we got tomorrow, Michael?
Yeah, well, what is it? You're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. For tomorrow, you know what we're giving away, Don? A Weber charcoal smoker.
Smoker.
It's the 20 and 20 contest. It's brought to you by P.C. Richardson, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand, and 98.7 ESPN.
Now, the smoker, I mean, could you cook a turkey in it?
I think so.
Smoke show.
So that'd be perfect for Thanksgiving, right?
Would you do that?
I wouldn't. I'd mess it up somehow. But I think people would.
A lot of people say it actually is much more juicy if you smoke it than if you cook it in an oven. I saw something on Twitter the other day when somebody said, tell me, other than Thanksgiving, when you're eating turkey and you go, wow, this is what I really wanted.
Nah, listen, I always said that I wish the pilgrims had been near a bull. Because then that would have just made for a better Thanksgiving, right?
I love a turkey. I love a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
Really? You love it?
That's my sandwich of choice. I mean, it's not a burger. It's not, you know, a lobster. If not chocolate cake.
All right. If one day you get married, Peter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go home and there's a turkey dinner waiting for you. Would you be like,
yes?
Or would you be like, this is kind of odd?
You don't sit and dream about the turkey
dinner.
That's
Michael's point. But I'm saying is if it happened to be by a cow patch when they landed, when Plymouth Rock,
right.
There was a farm down the road and it was like cows. And the tradition was steak, much better holiday. Much better holiday.
But we think about it like this, though, too. You already get so full on Thanksgiving. Imagine all those sides with steak.
Yeah, I'm imagining it now. It's terrific. I mean, you can have all the same sides.
It's a lot, though.
Stuffing,
no.
Mashed potato, all the stuff, except it's a steak instead of a turkey. I mean, a turkey's nice, but it's not really, it's ceremonial more than anything else. It's not what people want.
If they kill pigs, everybody would have like slabs of bacon for Thanksgiving. Anyway, let's shower off right now. Towel off and shower off. And we got a lot of stuff to do. We got a big ENN coming up as well.
Oh, it's a huge one.
Rosenberg and you right here on Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.